Someone has already commented about my title and the properness or accurate wording thereof. Let me read this title for you, My You Standard. That's what we want to talk about this morning. What kind of standard do I have for you? Or maybe in a longer statement that's hard to get on the screen, does your me standard match your you standard? Understand what that means? Do you require more of others than you require of yourself? Now, the text that Brother Bill read for us this morning, we turn to oftentimes to talk about judging others. And we have to deal with this text and how it is misapplied and misunderstood in much of the world today. And nearly always when we look at this, we focus on the idea of judging. But notice what Jesus says in verse 2. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. That should impress upon us as children of God that we need to be using the same standard for everyone. In fact, that's what Jesus expects us to do, is always look to the same standard no matter what we're making a determination about. And of course, we recognize and understand that the standard that Jesus wants us to use is Scripture. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've studied in the book of Romans. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In talking about the distinction that was sometimes being made between Jew and Gentile, Paul reminded them that the Jews had failed God just like the Gentiles had failed God. The problem in this world is sin amongst all mankind. None of us are better than anyone else in regards to sin. Some of us have dealt with sin properly and are able to receive the benefits of that by being in a relationship with God, but we're still all held to the same standard. We cannot judge others by a standard that is stricter than the standard we use for ourselves. Now, also, I had Brother Bill go ahead and read verse 6. Notice I don't have it up here because I typed 5 instead of 6. But verse 6 tells us that even when we have this standard, a part of understanding the application of this standard is that we use it to determine whether what we're doing is of benefit. Don't throw to the dogs that which is holy, that which is precious. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I've always heard it expressed, use common sense. When you realize you're wasting, then maybe it's time to go put your efforts somewhere else. But still, the same standard is to be used in every instance. The same standard for me that I have for you. When we try to hold someone else to a stricter standard than we hold to ourselves, what we're being is a hypocrite. We're being hypocritical. We're saying that I'm different than you are. I'm better than you are. Therefore, I can look upon you and talk about all the bad things that you're doing and not worry too much about mine because I've already taken care of mine. Pop my suspenders and break my arm, patting myself on the back, and all those sort of things are associated with this. In fact, Jesus says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And sometimes we read that and we get focused on the fact that Jesus said, I got a big old huge problem with me, and I'm nitpicking on other folks. And it's a general principle. Make sure I'm watching myself first. Then I can help others. When we develop this kind of an idea of I'm held to a different standard than you. I'm going to make you be accountable to a higher standard of accuracy in regards to keeping the word. We become like that self-righteous Pharisee that we read of in Luke chapter 18. In fact, we could have used this as our text and come to the same conclusions, because it's a similar situation. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. There's a great extreme between these two characters. The Pharisee is all about how great and wonderful he is and how much better he is than anyone else. But the tax collector actually recognizes that I'm no better than anyone else. I'm just a sinner. I've committed wrong, and I need to come humbly before my God and express my desire to get those things taken care of and ask my God for forgiveness. When we look at these two, sometimes maybe we begin to think, well, it really ought to be somewhere in between those two extremes, but I'm not so sure that that's the case. I'm pretty much convinced, based on this and other passages of Scripture, that the attitude we all ought to have is the attitude of that tax collector. A recognition that I am a sinner. Yes, I may be saved from my sins because I've taken advantage of the gospel of Christ. And in that sense, maybe I can be considered as closer to God, but only because God was gracious enough to cleanse me of my sins when I submitted to His will. And that doesn't make me any better than anyone else. It just means that I've been saved from my sins because I took advantage. I've sought forgiveness through repenting and confessing my sins to God. But even this one here, if that's what he's doing, as it seems to be in this text, he's going to be in the same condition that I am because he sought forgiveness by confessing and acknowledging and changing his way. We're hypocritical. We're self-righteous, like the Pharisee, when we hold others to a higher standard. When we can see others' mistakes at a distance, but we can't even see our own mistakes when we look at ourselves. As once been said, "I think I could see my mistakes if I had any." I hope when that was said initially, it was said in jest. But if we were to carefully consider our attitudes throughout all of our time here on earth, is it possible that there's maybe been a time in our life that we've had that kind of an attitude? Maybe wouldn't have expressed it in that manner, but have developed the idea that I don't have any mistakes, therefore I don't have to correct them. The Pharisee was building himself up by tearing somebody else down. We need to be careful that we're not doing that. That we're not spending our time tearing others down so it makes us feel better about who we are. It is impossible to make your light shine brighter by snuffing out the light of someone else. You can't fix your light. You can't trim your wick or shine your globe by snuffing out the light of your neighbor. That just leaves you with less light. You're no better off than you were before. We can all do things of this nature, and sometimes maybe we do so and we don't think about it. Maybe it's in our own private moments that we think such things. We need to be careful of such attitudes, of looking for the mistakes in others. The text that Brother Bill read for us, that Jesus speaks here in Matthew chapter 7, is pay attention to yourself. Sometimes we get caught up in all the things that others are doing and finding wrong with them because we want to soothe our own conscience. This attitude of I'm as good as, or I'm not as bad as he is, it's a false sense of security. Our sins are not going to be made less by our pointing out the sins of others. In fact, Paul warns against that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. I can almost guarantee you, you can find somebody that's in a worse situation than you are. It doesn't take much looking. But that's not going to help your situation. Oftentimes when folks ask me how I'm doing, I say, I'm doing great, and I'm doing a whole lot better since I've heard about how much trouble everybody else is having. But you know, that still doesn't take care of the aches and pains. It may make me feel better that I don't have as many aches and pains. But, you know, it doesn't make my aches and pains any better, really. The same is true of sin. Pointing out somebody else's sin does not make my sin less. Just because all of us have sin and I have less sins than you do doesn't make me better than you. Sin is the same in the sight of God. Sin is sin. It only took one sin for Simon the sorcerer to be cast out, to be rebuked, told he had no part. Oftentimes, in fact, I would say most of the time, these sort of attitudes are motivated by envy. Sometimes we look at a brother or sister and we recognize that maybe they're a little more devoted in some areas than we are, but we try to justify our less devotion in that area by saying we're better in this area, and so we point out their wrongs over there. And by doing so, we try to make ourselves feel better because we're a little jealous of where they stand over here. So rather than putting in the work so that we can get better in that area, we start talking about how bad they are somewhere else. And of course, we recognize that jealousy and envy are some of the works of the flesh that Paul talks about over there in Galatians chapter 5. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice those two things are right up there in the midst of all those other wicked and evil and terrible things that he mentions. And all of them are classified as things that will keep us out of heaven. Trying to destroy someone else's reputation will not raise our reputation. In fact, when we really stop and consider what it does, it actually hurts ourselves more than it does others. Putting our focus upon finding the wrongs in someone else hinders me in taking care of what I need to do. One thing, it takes up my time. Sometimes it's not easy to find people doing things wrong. We have to work real hard at it. But more importantly, it blinds me to my own faults. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? And certainly, once again, we mentioned Jesus is talking in extremes here to get the point across. We need to deal with a speck in our eye before we deal with a speck in a brother's eye. We need to be watching ourselves. And if we're so focused on the wrongs of everybody else, we're not going to catch up on our wrongs. For one thing, we're going to look and say, hey, I'm doing great because I'm so much better than brother so-and-so, so I really don't have to improve. And we're not going to look for areas where we might need to improve. And that in itself is going to lead to our failing in our service to God. We'll see no need for improvement it also causes us to miss out on the virtues of others. Because we're looking for something wrong. We're looking to find something wrong in somebody else's life, and therefore we miss out on the good point.
You know, I could talk about how Reuben spends all his spare time out there on the lake fishing. And he's so busy doing that. And I get so focused on the fact that Reuben goes fishing all the time whenever he gets an opportunity. And he spends all that time out there on the water fishing and not.
I might overlook the fact that if I'd pay attention, I also know Reuben and Brenda go visit folks. And they study their Bible. They take care of a lot of different things. You see, we can always find something to focus on that's bad, and when we do so, we miss out on the good things that other people are doing because we're so focused on what's wrong. We've got our eyes tuned to see mistakes, and we miss the virtues. Same thing happened with Jesus. Not because there was something wrong there, but because they were looking to find something wrong. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 11, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Notice there, they didn't see what Jesus was doing, that he was trying to reach those tax collectors and sinners, trying to warn them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, trying to bring them out of their wrong. What they saw is he's associating with wicked people. If what I see is Reuben and Brenda riding around on their motorcycle going all over the country, and I don't notice, hey, they're driving over to Brother John's house to visit with him or to check on him, or they went over to the hospital to check on so-and-so. See, I'm doing the same thing that the Pharisees were doing with Jesus. So focused on finding wrong that I don't see the good. And we need to be looking for the good in our brethren. Kind of like the illustration I heard years ago, back when we used to use blackboards. It was a white dot, and then we switched to whiteboards and had the whole board up there and one little black dot in the middle, and asked people what's on the board, and they'll respond, "There's a black dot on the board." "Then what do you see?" "I see a black dot." "Well, what about the big old huge white board that's all the way around it?" See, we're looking for something wrong. We can always find it. And oftentimes it'll blind us to the good. We need to do everything within our power to overcome this kind of a double standard. Because that's what it is. It's holding my brethren and others to a different standard than I hold myself. And folks, fault finding is a despicable pastime. It does absolutely no good when all we're doing is looking for the evil or the bad in someone else. That doesn't mean that we can't note where our brother has sinned or committed wrong and we need to help them to overcome it, but when that's what we're looking for. Mr. Robert West, I got a quote from him, says, "No talent, no self-denial, no brains, and no character are required to set oneself up in the grumbling business. It doesn't take any skill at all to complain." In fact, it's a pretty easy pastime. Do it without any thought at all. We need to overcome such because it leads to hurt and harm rather than growth and increase in ourselves and in our brethren. We need to be conscious of the sinfulness of going about with that kind of an attitude. We need to recognize the wrongness, and as Jesus gave instruction to his apostles, watch and pray that we may not enter into such temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're giving into the flesh when we give into such temptations. We need to guard against it. We need to make up our mind that what we're going to look for is good. When we look at our brethren, we're going to look to see how they are improving, how they get better, and what ways we might be able to assist them in that. Or what we can see in them that maybe we can improve ourselves through watching them. We talk a lot about how younger Christians
need to look to older Christians, find an example of someone. It's not just the younger Christians that need to do that. We all need to look to the examples of our brethren, especially those who have gone before, those who've experienced various things. I suspect every one of us who are, I started to say under 50, but that wouldn't be very many, who are under 60, can learn something about how to handle health issues and help ourselves to still be valid and useful and helpful in the kingdom of God, even though our bodies may be beginning to fail us by looking at those over there. And I know all of us can learn better how to study the Word of God by consulting, watching the example of those that have already spent time studying from the Word of God. When we come into a passage that we're having a difficulty to understand, we got a question that comes up as we're studying something, maybe in our Bible lesson or a sermon or maybe just in my private reading. I read something and I don't understand it and I go and I try to figure it out and I'm still having trouble. You know, there's lots of people that have experience in those things that we can go and talk to, and maybe they don't know the answer, but they might help us to find the answer. That's looking for the good in our brethren. That's finding ways that they can help us and we can help them and we can all grow together in serving the Lord. Or we can go about and say, well, you know, Brother John just never comes by my house and says, hey, you want to sit down and study? Brother John just never comes by and visits me. We're looking for the wrong when we do that. We need to learn ways to overcome that, to get better at seeing the good and learning from that good. Will there be some wrongs that we have to deal with from time to time? Yes, there will be. The other thing is we always need to look at ourselves first. If we're using the same standard for ourselves that we're using for everyone else, then we look at ourselves first and say, how do I measure up to that standard? We need to see the log in our eye rather than focusing on the speck in our brother's eye. I can pretty much guarantee you that there's always going to be something you can work on you rather than looking to find something to work on somebody else. I can always use some help myself. So we need to look at ourselves first. It's been said there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it little behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. I don't know if somebody thought for a long time to make all of those things rhyme like that so it'd be easier to remember or not, possibly. But the point is, I got enough problems to deal with me. Let me fix me first. Then I can see clearly to assist you if there's a need. We need to learn to overcome this double standard. Apply the same standard to me. My me standard needs to be the same as my you standard. Of course, in a perfect world, having said all that, everybody would have taken care of all that problem, and from now on we'd never be looking at others' mistakes. We'd always be looking at others' good, and we wouldn't be criticizing other people, but that's probably not going to be the case for all of us. Even if all of our brethren stop criticizing us, there's going to be others that do it, so we need to be able to handle that sort of criticism. And the first thing that you need to consider when you're being criticized like this, when somebody's pointing out and focusing upon your wrongs rather than assisting with your rights. Someone's talking about how they're better than you because they don't do this and you do that, if you even hear that it's going on. Remember that Jesus suffered the same thing. We read just a moment ago, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 11. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Reuben, why do you spend so much time out there on the lake and riding on that motorcycle instead of doing other things? How do you deal with that? Well, remember, Jesus had to deal with similar things.
they supposedly found fault with our Lord. And remember, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him." We can't expect to avoid the problems that Jesus himself had to deal with. And we can profit from that criticism. Even though something may have been said to us that was intended to hurt us rather than help us, we can take that and use it to actually help us. Maybe it causes Reuben to stop and think, maybe I am spending too much time on the lake. Maybe I need to spend a little more time visiting among my brethren or studying my Bible or things of that nature. By the way, I'm not saying Reuben spends too much time on the lake. Brenda just said don't pick on her. Maybe it causes us to stop, and in fact it ought to. When somebody points out something, it ought to cause us to stop and think, well, is there really a problem there? There may not be. But even in that case, we might find a way that we can grow ourselves. Maybe instead of not going to the lake so much, you think, well, maybe I can take a little more time to go and do some other things. We might look at how we're actually distributing our time, how we're actually using what God has given us. We take those criticisms and we use them to grow, to increase, and to become better. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Or we look and follow the advice of Ben Franklin, we make sure we're right and then go ahead. Peter tells us it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And you know what? When those Pharisees rebuked Jesus or spoke about Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners, he was doing good in that. There was nothing wrong with what he was doing. In fact, he was doing exactly what he came to earth to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he just stayed at it. That much harder. And that's the kind of attitude that we need to have. I hesitate to do any quote from Abraham Lincoln because I never know whether it's actually from Abraham Lincoln or not, but I've had this one long enough that it probably wasn't just found on the internet. It was in a book somewhere. He said, "I'll do the very best I can. And I mean to keep doing so until the end. If the end brings me out all right, what is said against me won't amount to anything. If the end brings me out wrong, 10 angels swearing I was right will not make any difference." And I don't use that because I think it was from Abraham Lincoln, but because it presents a Bible principle in some plain, simple language. If I'm doing what's right, what other people say about me is not going to matter in judgment. If I'm doing what's wrong, there's no hope for me anyway. So why not take the things that are said about me, use them to determine if I am right. Look at those things. Maybe this is a weakness. Learn from it and profit. We're always going to have critics. That's the problem every one of us is going to have all of our life. For one reason or another, somebody's going to criticize what we do. Sometimes they'll criticize no matter which side we're on. Let's take that and see if what we're doing is right. Have it be an instance that says, okay, I need to look at this again. Whether we're talking about some action we may be taking, some stand that we may have made, let's look at it and see. Maybe even some understanding we may have had of a passage of Scripture. Take it as an opportunity to look at it again. And if adjustment needs to be made, then make an adjustment. If there's nothing wrong and no adjustment needs to be made, then move on. Keep on keeping on. If we're on the right track, there's no reason to leave. Really, one of the things we need to keep in mind is we need to hold self to the strictest of standards. I'll say this carefully. If we're going to have a double standard, make me hold myself to the higher standard. Make me much harder to correct me. And maybe in many instances give my brother the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's a lack of understanding and knowledge. Maybe it's a weakness that he's having to take a lot of time and effort to try to overcome. The standard is the Word of God, and I keep myself as strictly close to it as I possibly can. Then there might be an opportunity for me to help others. If I take care of my own wick and my own globe, some of y'all understand what all that's about, then I'm going to have a better life so that I might be of more assistance to my brother. Examine yourselves, Paul told the Corinthian brethren, to see whether you are in the faith. He didn't say examine each other. He said examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Scriptures teach that we need to reprove sin. We're not to be the type of person that goes about looking for fault everywhere. If we're looking for fault anywhere, we need to look for fault in self so that we can correct it. Because ultimately, I'm going to be held accountable for me. And you're going to be held accountable for you. Now, part of my accountability is helping you if I can. And Paul tells us in the Ephesian letter that we need to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So yes, when there is sin, we need to expose it. But we don't go around looking for bad in others' lives. We don't go around trying to make ourselves feel better because we're doing more things than this guy's doing. When we do so, we're not following the example that our Lord has left for us. It all boils down to whether my light is shining as it ought or not. I think we can find, certainly, the principles of Scripture will help us to understand that if we get our light right, if we're worried about keeping our light burning and shining bright in the world around us, our influence is going to help take care of a lot of the problems that our brethren may have. And our comments or criticisms or concerns regarding some wrong that we may see in their life are going to be much better received if they see that we're focused on keeping ourselves right first. Make sure that the standard that we use is the same across the board. The Word of God is applied equally to me and to everyone else. And if I keep my light shining bright, then I can know that I'm going to be a better help to others who might be a little different. I mean, setting myself right in the sight of God. I mean, confessing my sins before God and seeking forgiveness. Asking Him to cleanse me and make me whole. Getting rid of the wrongs that I may have in my life so that I can be clean and whole and set apart. Prepared for entering into heaven. I'm not going to take anybody to heaven with me by tearing others down. But by building myself up and making myself as right as I possibly can, I may very well be others' prize. I might even have some effect in letting them know some weaknesses that they may have in their life.
If you look this morning and you find your life has wrong in it, correct it. Don't look at the wrong that may be in your brethren around you. Look at your wrong and set it right. You get right with the Lord. We can assist you with that opportunity. Is yours. Why don't you come, Lord, stand and say,